When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deck maintenance isn't fun. Move the furniture and barbecue, sand and prep, paint, seal, or get a low-maintenance Trex deck. The only color fade you'll have to deal with is watching the sunset. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.
We are the storm from Melbourne Town. We'll blow the others off the ground. We are the storm and we're number one.
On SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to another episode of the Storm Hour. Shandor Earl, Cooper Johns, Sam Hargraves, just trying to keep it all together here. Hello, boys.
Hello, mate. Great to be back.
G'day, Sammy. Good to be here.
Unfortunately, 10 in a row went begging on the weekend. It was a massive weekend for the club. I just said earlier that it was the Legends round. It was the Melbourne Storm old boys were back for a big weekend, and the Legends lunch on Friday, which I gate crashed, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, somehow you managed to get your way in there. God knows how. You definitely wasn't invited.
I know people.
He dropped our names, mate. That's what he's done.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Speaking of which,
you work with Cooper and Chandler.
You too. I've got a good T-bone as well. Do you know what I found funny about that lunch?
Yes.
Was because I wanted to come and say good day to you boys, because we're a tight-knit unit here.
Yeah, okay.
You say so.
And we're friends.
Yeah, we're acquaintances. I went to look what table number you're on. I found Cooper's and his table was right near me. And then I was looking for, I couldn't find you. And then I saw that on your table number, Shandor Ert. And because I couldn't find you. I'm like,
I don't believe it.
He mustn't
be
here. There's only a bloke called Shandor Ert.
That doesn't seem right. I don't think they're getting my name spelt incorrectly. So
the football club in which you play has put you on a table under the name of Shandor Ert.
Mm. This doesn't add up.
I showed Cooper.
It did. No, it was legit there.
Interesting.
So will you demand heads to roll for that?
Yeah, 100%. I'm very disappointed.
Shandor's going to go in swinging tomorrow in the office.
I can't get my name right on the list, and you can't get your name on the wall here at SEN, so we're both having problems.
It's just a blank space now on the LED lights on Sporting Capital.
Can they at least chuck your name up for when we do the Storm Hour?
I think the budgets have been set for LED lights for the year, and I just don't think I can sneak in.
Is that what it is? Honestly, like, can we get a bit of our own light show? It's just an hour every Tuesday at 7 o'clock.
I'll see what I can do.
Thank you.
That's a no.
And my name will be spelled correctly.
Yeah, Andy? The Melbourne Storm Hour with Cooper Johns and Shandor Ert.
Shandor Ert.
Great. It's not too late to join the Purple Army, by the way. Get any two home games, a 2019 membership, a beanie, and access to finals tickets, only $60. Melbourne Storm Hour, City, your club, 1300 786 767, or just go to the website, membership.melbournestorm.com.au. Daly Cherry-Evans, who decided not to kick a field goal in State of Origin that could have won Queensland the game, maybe was feeling bad about that and guilty, so he decided to slot one for Manly against the Storm on the weekend in the last minute of extra time.
Yeah, well, he had a little 40-metre punt at some point in the game, I remember, and that went nowhere near, so maybe that was a good sign for Queensland. But he was able to measure it up a lot closer and in a much better field position, and he knocked it over. At the end of the day, we had 5 shots, I think, so we had ample chance to win the game, but unfortunately it wasn't to be. But very close game, very good defence from both teams, and at the end of the day, they got us, but we'll see him in a couple of weeks.
We're going to have a chat to Tawera Nickow, who loved hearing him speak at the Old Boys and the Legends lunch on Friday.
Like, and you got a chance to see the video as well, which is the Watchtower video.
I had goosebumps watching that. So I wanted to get him on tonight because I want him to explain what the Watchtower is all about. It is spine tingling when you hear about it. When you guys see that and hear that and hear about, speaking about the responsibility of standing on the Watchtower for the Melbourne Storm, and Coops, you're the most recent signing to the Melbourne Storm list. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's something you definitely want to – it's definitely a driving sort of motivator that makes you want to play and makes you want to stay around for a long time, makes you want to be a part of that history. It definitely makes you want to stay and be a part of that Old Boys. You see how tight they were, that you were there at the lunch. you see all the banter they have and you see how tight the group is. And I think it'll be pretty cool. I know Shander will want to be a part of it. He loves that sort of thing. And just sort of be a part of that crew in, you know, 10 years' time, that come back and maybe we could create our own little watchtower.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Come back and see you. Hopefully you're doing good things. But a little bit of insight. Obviously, I've been at a few other clubs and no one puts as much emphasis and weight behind, you know, they talk about those who dug the well before us. And there's just such a great legacy and understanding that those guys have built the foundation that we now get to play on. And if they didn't have that success early on, the reality is the Storm probably wouldn't be where it is. And people like myself and Cooper wouldn't have the opportunities we do. And I think T is a really good example of those guys that built that. And yeah, as you said, it's pretty special and it definitely gives you goosebumps when you talk about it.
What number is that? Is that a New Zealand number?
Yeah, that's a New Zealand number. He's back over the ditch.
Mm. That's a lot of numbers.
Yeah, it's gonna rack up a bit of a bill on the old SEN tolls.
Well, I don't have to pay the phone bill for the show. Yeah,
well, so if they're so tight with the LED lights, mate, they never know.
Exactly.
Probably I don't want to pay the phone bill either.
It's just more important things to do than to put my head on an LED light. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, we probably weren't alluding to putting your head up opposed to us.
Oh, well, just because the Sporting Capital one's up here at the moment. Oh, you want your own Storm Hour?
Senator Earl Cooper Johnson. And there can be some sort of small fine print, maybe where the Melbourne's home of sport is, that tiny little writing, and with Sam Hargraves.
Okay, well, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
I'd take a selfie in front of it, send it to my folks. with the other thing that it was remarkable at the Legends lunch was when you, and we don't probably spend enough time on just how quickly the Melbourne Storm became successful.
Second year
in the competition to win a grand final.
Won't be done again.
It's a remarkable achievement.
I don't know if it has been done in any sporting franchise in the world, to be honest.
Oh, that's a great question. 0433 98 11 16. If you can think of any other sporting franchise. Oh, Sunny Coast Lightning in the Super Netball.
Okay, but they went back to back
in the first two seasons of Super Netball.
They are a Melbourne Storm club.
And they are. Well, there you go.
So can we branch out from away from Melbourne Storm?
Yeah, so, okay. So for
international,
that was quite quick from you, so good work.
Thank you very much. If you can think of any other franchise that's won a premiership or grand final or championship.
Or just had success early on.
Yeah, that early on. Then we'd love to hear about it. 1-300-736-736.
Here's a cool little stat for you. Last year was our 20 years, and in that 20 years we'd won 5 premierships. 5 over 20, that's a quarter. So every 4 years, on average, we're winning a premiership.
Pretty cool. That's insane.
Where that stacks up in international sport is right up there. It's incredibly impressive.
100%. Maybe the New England Patriots would be up there too.
Yeah, they would be, but not for their whole history. I don't know. Oh, maybe six in... Hey, we'd have to double check that. 1-300-736-736 if you know the answers. Still 4 points clear at the top of the table. 6 rounds remaining.
Yep.
How was Bellyache after the loss and how did he respond this week on the track?
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty good. At the end of the day, Bellamy rewards effort and Belzer was pretty happy with our effort overall. He would have liked a few things to go our way and a little bit differently, but at the end of the day, he sat down and he said, it's a really good effort. It's an indication that we can improve on a few things. And I think Munster touched on it earlier in the week during a media conference and he said, you know, it's not all bad losing to a good team at this point of the year. So I think it just gives us a little bit of a rev up. This back home straight, we've got a couple of games against some top 4, top 5 teams. So I think it puts us in a good position to just say, hey, there is still things we need to work on and focus on. And hopefully that puts us in good stead for a good run home. So, yeah, he was happy overall with the effort. But, you know, obviously on Old Boys Day, would have liked to see us come away with a win in a tight game.
It was cool to see how disappointed the boys were, especially when they've only... Including that game, they've lost 3 games, one the most by 2 points, and the others 2 were like by field goals. So that's like an outstanding effort in itself, and for them to be so disappointed after that game was it was pretty cool.
Mm.
Speaking of field goals, I as a fan absolutely agree. Oh, we're just being told here 0433 98 11 16. Western Sydney Wanderers won in their first year in the A League.
Did they?
Is that right, Adrian? Aaron, sorry, could you check that, Aaron?
Hang on, you don't even. Oh, he doesn't even know his name.
No. Because there's 2 people that are good enough to produce the show each day. And yesterday was Adrian, and today's Aaron.
It's just so arrogant.
Can we give Aaron his time to shine as well?
Honestly, for those that can't actually see him, he's wearing a robe and eating grapes at the moment. Like, he's not just sitting here in his casual clothes.
Disgusting.
So he's just so arrogant.
And his New York Jets hat again, like. Yeah.
In a robe. Like, what are you wearing a Jets hat with a robe? It's weird.
Because I barrack for the Jets.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. Oh, what? I'm not allowed to wear.
Can we get you a new hat for the 1920
stop
season?
Stop wearing F45 clothes in here, Shandor. We know you've got an F45. It's okay, mate. We've given you.
Mate,
a
I'm
plug.
Wearing pink track pants today. That would have been a better target for you.
The LA Knights made the Stanley Cup final in their first year. Dan's telling us in sunshine. Formula One, Braun F1 won in their first year.
Not bad.
That's not bad. Okay, yep, no. Western Sydney Wanderers, we're being told, definitely came through on there. Hey, with the field goal,
yeah. I'll,
as a fan, it
you're talking about what Belzer said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with him.
What he said was that golden try would be much better than golden point, because what ends up happening is the game becomes, it turns into a field goal battle, yes, and a field position battle, as opposed to let's just go out and score a try. Like, it is an incredible, exciting thing when you go into extra time. But the golden point thing changes. It's a completely different game than what you've just watched
it's
for
not
the
good.
First 80 minutes.
No, it's not good. The only thrill is the moment someone, the player gets it, drops the ball and goes to the field goal. That is thrilling in itself, that one second. But the rest of the time, you're trying to gain field position to go for the field goal.
Yeah. So imagine it's a different game.
Yeah. Imagine the, you know, plays people would be pulling out and things they'd be doing just to score a try. It'd be crazy.
So, Coop, when you were a kid growing up, did you sit in the backyard and imagine scoring?
Imagine kicking the field goal.
Do you imagine scoring a try? Like, it's to win the game.
As me, because I'm a half in that position where I have to kick field goals and kick goals, I would always imagine kicking the winning goal or kicking the winning field goal. So I personally love it. I love that sort of grind going.
But those games have to turn you off it a little bit.
I thought that was one of the best games I've ever seen when I was sitting there on the sideline.
But can you see the other point of view as a punter where you can imagine the footy that would be played if the boys had to go for a try? There'd be some pretty cool plays. They'd be going for arsey stuff, flick passes, big long balls, kicks, who knows what.
Oh, yeah,
knows? It'd be much better where the bulk of the time in that period is spent on trying to find good field position.
So he's saying that say if you get a penalty goal from in front or a field goal at just doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't instantly stop the game. So you can take a field goal, and if at the end of the 10 points, you're winning.
Yeah, I reckon you can, at the end of the 10 minutes, if you've kicked a field goal, kicked a penalty goal, and you're up by points, you win.
Yeah.
But golden try stops it instantly. So I reckon that's the way to go.
Score a try, it stops instantly. But if you get a goal, it continues out the next 5 minutes of the
half. Yes, I reckon that's the way to go.
Yeah, I agree.
So those are still options. And if a penalty happens, you can't just. Yeah. If a penalty happens.
You can't. Miss out that
How crap is a penalty? You get a penalty 30 out in front and it just, the game's over. Like, that is a horrible way to lose.
Yeah, I
think
agree.
The points count and they count towards at the end of the 10 minutes, but if you get a try, it's game over. How good.
See, as a player, like, I'm sitting there going, like, how good's this? I'm about to kick a goal to win the game for the boys.
Wouldn't you want to score the try that wins the game though?
No.
Grand final.
No way.
The field goal is cool. I admit that, but then there's the flip side where you go shot for shot for shot, and it's like, I just think it's not great footy. It's not
because it's a different style and standard.
Selfish is, for lack of a better word, but selfishly saying it would be a good option because at the end of the day, he is kicking the field goal. So the whole time is actually a bit of a thrill for him because he has to get set in position. As a winger, I'm sitting out there going, oh,
yeah, I can
cool.
imagine you thinking you're not getting any footy this whole time.
I'll tell you what I won't do again, though. I will never stand there and clap a field goal through the post because the off time that money hits the post and you could have chased and dead set scored a try for it, I will never just stand there and watch one. I'll always chase from now on. Because there is an opportunity, like, legit.
Yeah.
I could have got, like, someone could have got that if they chased it.
Yeah.
Because it ended up, Tafua chased it and, like.
Who done that? I remember Canberra, Jordan Rapiner did it that time.
That's right, he did too.
Just chased, like, everyone stopped. Even the defensive team stopped. He kicked it. It looked like it was going over. He was just sprinting through and scored it.
Wouldn't that be a nice way to finish off game 52? Mate.
It would have been.
What about I made the banner? Did anyone see that?
I missed that.
I need to actually say thank you to the banner squad, they're called. They created a banner. We ran out to and ripped through it. Someone sent me a photo. At the bottom was Shandor Earl 52 games. I thought, that's funny. Someone's photoshopped that. Legit, they put it on there. What legends. Obviously, listen to the show.
I mean, listen to the show. And if you did do that, call up. Give us a call.
Yeah, we'd love to chat to you.
Pete from Altona's give us a call. Wants to talk golden try. Pete, which way do you sit on it, mate? Should it be golden point or golden try?
After watching, the Storm game, it was bizarre. But I reckon golden try. Just keep going. You know, look, you come down to the toss. What happens if there's a really strong breeze going to one end? So that team has got the advantage of it first up. Mm. And also with soccer, with penalties, it should be keep playing till there's a score, you know?
Yeah, well, and I mean, Melbournians would argue in the AFL, why can't you just have a draw? A lot of people have said that to me as well.
No,
like,
I hate
you
a
get
draw.
The draw.
No.
You can't do a draw.
No.
Yeah, I agree, but.
There are no draws in life, my friend.
Thank you, Confucius. No, and thank you, Pete. Really appreciate that. You stay on the line. I believe we've got tickets to Melbourne Storm's next home game. Aaron will get you sorted there.
Adrian?
Let's hope so.
No, it's Aaron.
Aaron, sorry, yes.
It's Aaron. We've got tickets to Melbourne Storm's next home game as well, so get yourself around those. Anyone that calls through tonight, I'm pretty much going to give tickets to 1-300-736-736. Wow. Hey, quickly before we get to the break, just an injury update. How Sully will come back this week after missing with a suspension. Welshy, yes. Concussion on the weekend. How's he tracking? Cooper, how are you, and how's Curtis Scott?
Yeah, Welshy...
Self-diagnosed,
yeah,
Welshy, was
it? He actually wasn't. He just brought himself off the field. He should be fine, I think, Christian. For myself and Curtis, yeah, we're still ticking along. It's a bit of a slow process for us at the moment. Yeah, it's taken longer than we thought for both of us, but we should be back hopefully in a few weeks.
We're going to get to back-to-back away games. There's some audio that I want to play you of something I saw that I thought was incredibly impressive through the week in rugby league. We're going to have a chat to you about a couple of things, Shandor, yes. Because... for some reason, we've decided and we've been told we need to try and find who the most famous person called Shandor is in the history of sport.
Oh, well, let's hope I take number one spot.
Let me tell you something, mate. You're a long way down.
Yeah, you are a long way off from what I'm seeing.
And if I'm not, can we get them on the show? Let's have a chat.
A lot of them have passed away.
Well, that makes me the most famous then.
No, not in history.
Well, we're not doing history. Current, present day.
You're the only one still alive, I'm pretty sure.
Thank you.
List.
And just quickly, Robbie Farah announces his retirement in true Robbie Farah fashion. Just told a fair few people he didn't like them. And I think probably the feeling was
not
mutual.
A Robbie fan. There's a bit something in that, Cooper.
No, I'm not really. Justin Holbrook will be the new coach of the Gold Coast Titans too. And I want to speak to you on the other side of that because I really thought Kevvy Walters was the best candidate for that job. I know nothing about that bloke, but I'm sure he's a wonderful person and will be a good coach. But we might just see from you boys how you felt about the Titans' new coach announcement. This is the Storm Hour. Shandor Earl, Cooper Johns. It's not too late to join the Purple Army. Get an E2 Games 2019 membership, a beanie, and access to finals tickets for only $60. Melbourne, our city, your club, melbournestorm.com.au. Just head to the memberships page there. Back with more after this. We are the Storm from Melbourne Town, we'll blow the others off the ground. We are the Storm and we're number one.
On SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
Not too far away from being joined by Storm legend Tawira Nikau. He was the player that turned the 1999 Grand Final and he is the... I suppose the holder and the keeper of the watchtower, which is a very important phrase and expression and story in the Melbourne Storm mythology. And we're going to find out a little bit more about that a little bit later on. We're going to get to T-Bone of the Week and then find out who's the most famous person ever to be called Shandor. We don't know why we're doing this. I've got a feeling it's because Shandor... Yeah, okay. Because Shandor wanted us
Shandor
to...
Shandor sent it through, I think, on the run sheet.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure he did too. I certainly didn't. Did you put it on there, Coop?
No, I didn't. Surprised us on there.
Cooper Johns, Shandor Earl. Hey, before we get to some big announcement that the Storm have got, Curtis Scott's been out for 13 weeks with a Jones fracture of his foot. And Cooper, you wanted to get him on just to ask how the injury's going. Curtis Scott, how is the injury tracking, mate? And where are you at?
Yeah, it's going good, boys.
Sweet. Thank you, Curtis. Hey, guys, you know what? We've also hit 25. We've hit 25,000 members for the Storm.
Oh, how good. That's great. That was our goal, too.
Big thanks to Curtis Scott.
that was all preempted.
Oh, we couldn't even hold it together for 2 seconds. Yeah, that was great.
Good work, Shandor.
Thanks to everyone for their support. 25,000 members, that's incredible. I think Storm have got the second most number of members in the competition.
Behind Broncos, is it?
I think it's behind the Broncos.
How good's that?
Yeah, and the record is 25,105. So if you want to become a Melbourne Storm member,
let's get
record.
It.
Membership.melbournestorm.com.au. Just remember, Melbourne Storm, our city, your club. Back-to-back away games for the Storm. Broncos, speaking of the Brisbane team, up there this week, and then the Rabbitohs in Gosford. So a big road trip coming up.
Yeah, it'll be really good. Sorry, I just we both just wigged out for a little bit then. But
sorry, you and Sam did, or
no, me and you did.
I'm fully attentive and ready to answer any questions at any moment.
You looked up at me surprised.
Interesting.
Yeah, Rabbitohs and Gosford, mate. Yep. That'd be outstanding. What a game.
Cool. Any other insight?
I'll take it from you. I was going to alley-oop it over to you.
Broncos.
Cheers.
This week.
Broncos, yeah, should be a great game, mate. Broncos are going well. They've just reached the top eight, and no, it's going to be a tough game. They've got a lot to play for, but I know the boys are very excited about going up to Suncorp, especially on a Friday night. Similar sort of setup. They've got some good defence in terms of their try line defence, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of things that we can exploit as a team. And on the back of last week's loss, we'll be keen. And yeah, I think it's going to be a good game, but one that we can. Definitely get on top of.
We talk a lot about the Storm and Manly rivalry, but there is a very deep-seated rivalry and a bit of a dislike between the Broncos and the Storm. It was some Broncos old boys that started the Storm, and then there was that 2006 grand final. But then ever since then, the Storm have had the wood over the Broncos, and Craig Bellamy was the only coach to ever have a winning record over Wayne Bennett. There's a decent amount of dislike between the two teams.
Well, Craig used to work under Wayne as well.
That's right.
He was his assistant, and I think from everything I heard back in the day, they used to be very competitive because Wayne used to jump in a lot of the training and he used to beat a lot of the boys and all the long-distance running stuff.
Bells was the S&C coach first.
Yeah, he started as the S&C coach, built his way up to assistant. But the only person that's ever beat Wayne in the fitness up in Broncos was Craig Bellamy. On his
really?
First, yeah.
Old Wayne, he's built like a marathon runner.
Oh, mate.
He's
built like a minute long. Six.
Seriously. He looks like, what's that guy, Monaghetti. He does look like him. An older, longer Monaghetti.
I think he's more Rob DiCostello if he had a mustache.
Yeah, we don't know him, but
Well, he was sort of just before Steve Monaghetti.
Yeah, right.
He's the guy that was so committed to running and I think it was Comm Games. Look this up. There's a video, and he was on the final part of the Comm Games and coming into the stadium, and needed to use the facilities, but just knew that he wanted to keep running, and just went whilst running.
Hey, no way.
Yeah.
Was he in a winning position?
Oh, I think he was in a medal position. I think he was in a medal position.
Yeah, well, mate, that's fair enough. You've got to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's commitment.
That is.
He reminds me of Hugh Hefner.
It's embarrassing.
Hugh Hefner, Wayne Bennett, I reckon.
You reckon Wayne Bennett is reminds like Hugh
me.
Hefner?
I think he does remind me of Hugh Hefner. Can you see that?
Again, like a... when I look at Wayne, and I don't know whether this is his...
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood. His longer physique. He looks like he's 7 foot tall. He's just gangle.
The guy from Despicable Me, the cartoon. Have you seen that guy?
Yeah, that's not a bad lookalike for Wayne Bennett.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Val Kilmer, the new Val Kilmer.
In the next few weeks, we should do best NRL lookalikes. Because we did one the other day with best AFL lookalikes. And I reckon an NRL one would be good.
All right.
Who would be your lookalike? Who do you think you most resemble?
Probably... and. A few people have just said that they reckon that Damien Walsh Howling, who's the guy that played Benji Venuman in the Underbelly series, would play me in a movie.
One of the dwarves out of The Hobbit.
I think as an NRL reference, Mark Riddell, Mark Piggy Riddell.
I totally agree with that.
Thank you.
Full of himself.
Slightly harsh.
What else we got over there, Sammy?
Jason Statham. I don't know. That's just throwing names.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a bold friend.
Hey, you guys have been talking a lot about the Storm Dine at Mine last Thursday. A massive success. Take us through how it went, raising money for Camp Quality.
Yeah, well, Shanda was actually a no-show. Shanda never showed up.
But just celebrating my partner's 30th. So.
It's for charity, though.
So. Yeah, I was there last year and Cooper wasn't. So.
That was actually very disappointing not to see Shanda, especially because he was going to be a part of the auction.
That's on the par with Ben Simmons pulling out of World Cup for me. It's been promoted.
Oh, if you think that's bad, stick around for my T-bone in segment 4.
But no, it was really good. It was actually a really fun night. Everyone that came there, we'd seen them a lot around the games and stuff, big fans, and they were sharing a lot of stories, a lot of banter going on between them. And the raffle made a lot of the boys, Billy Walters actually won a few of the raffles. I think Shanda will touch on that. And then, a few of the boys won some stuff actually. It was really funny.
And all up, raising around $10,000 for Camp Quality, including $3,500 for a barbecue with Cam Munster and Christian Welsh.
Yes.
So
it was very competitive, the auction.
They've definitely paid overs for that, but it's good. It's all going to charity.
Maybe not for Munster, definitely for Welshy. Well, I think Munster's probably $3,400 of that, and Welshy's added $100.
Shandor, because we've got to get to Where in the Cow. Yes. Your Fuel by Fire podcast, what's the latest, please?
Fuel by Fire. So this week, last week we had Nick Maxwell. I touched on that. It was really successful, and I know a lot of people got a lot out of that in terms of his opinions on leadership, which was really cool, a lot of takeaways. This week, we've launched our first Spark episode. So Spark episode is basically a tip or an insight episode where I detail some of my own experiences or things I've gone through recently that I've found have had a big effect. This week's episode, Spark, is called Visualizing the Outcome. So it's really cool. And we've also launched the AB episode. So it's a bit of a double this week. Andrew Blowers, former All Black, now is a welfare officer at the Storm, has some great stories on his experience with the All Blacks, and just overall a really nice guy, but some really cool stuff there. So double this week, plenty of content. And I just also wanted to mention before we go, Storm Dynamite was amazing, but August 18th, we have our Players Comedy Day. So this is a chance for the fans to mingle with the players, have a few laughs, have a couple of drinks on a Sunday afternoon, and we'll also have some awesome auction prizes, and there'll be lots going on. So there'll be more detail probably in the coming weeks. But
Website? Do we go to website for
yes,
that?
Yes, we do go to website, and I don't have
just
it.
Look in Chandler's link in his bio, and it'll be in there soon.
Stay tuned for the on the boys' social media this week, and there'll be some links. But it'll be a really cool day, and you know, a genuine chance for the fans to mingle with the players. And I think it's one of the very few opportunities that you get to have some genuine time and see the boys for who they are and what they are. You know, their personalities, and just have a little bit of fun, let the hair down.
Yeah. Who's got a tight five in them, stand up comedy wise? Who's getting up to?
There will be real comedians. Obviously, myself and Cooper probably could do a
probably
job.
Could do something.
We were looking for an MC. Your name was tossed up, but quickly rejected.
Yeah. Your name was tossed up as a laugh.
Yeah.
What about that Sam Hargrove?
That's because I'll be closing the show with the stand up comedians, I would have thought. Hey, just on your visualising the outcome, is it hard to do at the moment with that black eye?
No, it's not, mate. If anything, it's made me tougher.
In what way?
This first one.
I've got two sleeves. Now I've got a black eye. I mean, this is intimidation gone to a whole new
jail.
Level.
This is like gang related. Yep.
This is gang life. I'm throwing up gang signs in the streets of South Bay.
You still have a man bun though, so you're back to square one, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, yes. I'll braid it.
Oh, this is very nice stuff. Melbourne Storm out. Cooper, we're going to find out from you before the end of the show how your trip to the snow went.
Yeah, I didn't go to the snow, but thanks for that.
Munners. He gets you once a week.
That's right. At least we...
Storm media passes. Manager Paul Munnings put something on the run sheet that is completely incorrect every week, and I go with it.
Yeah, well...
I've been Munnings again.
Yeah. Been Munners.
Don't miss our next chat. If you want to know what is all about the Storm culture, how it's driven, how it was created, what it is centred around and what it's focused upon, it is the watch house. And to wear a nick out, it's not, is it?
It's the watchtower.
Oh,
no. I'm going to tell him you said that.
The watchtower. I was doing so well then. The watchtower. Yeah. You need to hear this if you want to know exactly what being a Melbourne Storm player is all about. And what it means 100%. To them and where it's all focused on and where it's been centred on. That's up next with Tarera Nick out on the Storm Hour, SEN. We are the Storm from Melbourne Town. We'll blow the others off the ground. We are the Storm and we're number one.
On SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
It's not too late to join the Purple Army. You can get any two home games, a 2019 membership, a beanie, and access to finals tickets for only $60. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club. Call 1300 786 767, or these days, just go to membership.melbournestorm.com.au. Shandor Earl, Cooper Johns, we're very, very lucky to be joined on the phone by a living legend of the Melbourne Storm. I'm reliably told, and I remember that this man is the man that turned the 1999 grand final with just his physicality. He absolutely tore them apart. And the most memorable part of the old boys and the legends lunch on Friday for me was learning all about the watchtower and what that meant and the place that it holds in Melbourne Storm mythology and what it means to all the players. So I thought we would get Tarera Nicow on the phone to just explain it all to us. So thank you very much for joining us, Tarera. We really appreciate your time.
Evening, boys. Great to be here. And, just recovering from the big weekend. it was great to be back there and see the 09 and the 99 grand final teams, mate. And it was an absolutely fantastic Melbourne Old Boys weekend. So big shout out to Bobby Coons and Robbo for organising that, and the club and all the supporters, mate. It was absolutely fantastic.
Hey, Tarira, just for those people that don't really know about that Storm culture, would you like to touch on something about the Watchtower for them?
Yeah, well, I think the main thing we talked about the Watchtower is, and it came from originally when we came back, about everybody stepping up into the Watchtower and doing their job. And I think when we first started out way back in 1998, when we all came together for our first season, you know, Reeves talked to, you know, was part of the club, but I think the history and something that's grown into the Storm ideology and mythology that we have now over the last 20-odd years has been, you know, about everybody that comes into the Watchtower that has a specific job. When you come into the tower, you know, you're representing the Storm, you're representing the legacy that's gone before you, and, you know, everybody has a job to do, and, you know, you just got to get it there and get your job done. And it talks about, you know, each and every one of us stepping into that Watchtower, doing their job, you know, being relentless. And, you know, if you were at the luncheon on Friday, you were seeing the video clips, and it talked about all the players over the years that have worn that Storm jersey, the legacy and the importance that it holds. So, you know, I've talked to a lot of players over the weekend, and, you know, guys that have come from other clubs, and, you know, they both only played at the Storm for maybe one or two seasons. And there's a couple of guys that only played three games for the Storm, but they're still part of the Storm. They've still worn that jumper, and they've worn it with pride and done really, really well for the club and even the, you know, the guys that are wearing them today.
Hey, T, it's Shandor here. Mate, exactly what you just touched on was basically my question. I've been at the Storm now. This is my second year. And although I've been involved in, you know, I think some really good clubs, there's never been the emphasis. And you talk about guys like Bobby Kearns and Robbo, and there's just never been that emphasis and understanding of the past and the players that have gone before us. But what I wanted to touch on was the amazing culture that we all know and everyone loves at the Storm, and everyone understands that we must be doing something right here. But for you guys to have built that, are you amazed to see how much that's flown on from 99 to now 2019?
Oh, mate, I think that everyone that comes to the Storm understands that culture, and they don't want to let it down, Chandler. Mm. You know, and I think, you know, Craig Bellamy, Cameron Smith, Billy Slater, you know, Cooper Cronk, all the greats talk about, you know, the legacy that had been set before them. But I think it's even been enhanced more by, you know, there's a whole lot of Kiwi players. You know, you and Coop, we've got a lot of Kiwi boys playing there now. And, you know, when me and Steve Kearney first came in those first couple of years, Mandy Rua, the Prince, you know, there's another young guy that came. And, you know, it's really been built on a really strong values base. And I think, you know, I didn't really get the chance to spend touch on it too much, but, you know, Chris Anderson was another big part. He came from the Bulldogs and came to Melbourne, and, you know, he was, you know, Bullfrog. I think if people know who Peter Moore was a legendary chairman of the Bulldogs, was really family orientated. And if you look at the club, you know, it's very family orientated. When I was there, Glenn Lazarus and I were the older statesmen, but we were the only ones that had kids. But if you look at the club now, the kids are always around there. You've got Cameron's kids, you know, Billy's kids, Jesse's kids. It's a real family environment.
Yeah.
And a big part of that came from Chris Anderson when he first came and really made the wives feel a part of the club, the kids feel part of the club. And I think that's one of the key components when you look about, you know, if a footballer's happy at home, if his wife and his girlfriend's happy and the kids are happy, how do you think he's going to go out and play on the field?
Exactly.
100%. Pretty much, you know, 100% pretty well, week in, week out. And that's the great thing about the Storm. And there's both, you know, as you know, Shandor, it's been absolutely fantastic. There's a really strong bond between all the players. You know, we had, first time we'd all been together, we had Robbie Ross, he came back from London. Rodney Howe came from France. We had Marcus Weyer come from Port Moresby. You know, so we have players come from, and, you know, players come from New Zealand, all over the world. So, you know, there's this real uniqueness, this real strong culture, and there's a whole lot of components to it. But, mate, just very privileged and very humbled to have been part of, you know, probably one of the greatest sporting franchises in Australia or even the world.
Yeah,
in terms of their consistency, in terms of their leadership. You know, it's just absolutely a privilege and an honour to be part of the Melbourne Storm.
So to where was that, where it started in that first year in 1998? Was it a combination of family? Was it the implementation of this idea of the watchtower and everybody doing their watch and doing their job? And did it happen straight away? Was it something that was established right off the bat before you'd even had the first kickoff of the season? Or did you develop it over that first year?
Well, it developed over the first 90. We all got down near the end of 97 preseason and 98, 99. But, you know, we all sat down around and talked about what was important to us as a group. And, you know, we were really lucky we had a leader like Lee Lazarus. You know, Lazarus had played at the Raiders, won a couple of grand finals, played State of Origin, played for Australia. He went to the Broncos, won another couple of grand finals, you know, played under Wayne Bennett, played with Alfie, Kevy, Gordy, you know, Lottie Dakiri, you know, probably some of the best players to ever play the game. And when I was at Canberra, you know, he played with, you know, Ricky Stewart, Laurie Daly, Bradley Clyde, Mel Meninga, you know, some greats of our game. Mm. And then he came to Melbourne. So, you know, Lazo is our captain and our leader, really had this winning culture, really had this winning attitude. And, you know, for us as a new franchise, we didn't have no history. We didn't have no culture. We were a brand-new franchise thrown down into Melbourne in the heart of AFL. So we knew that we had to be very successful in those early days to get some, you know, to get some runs on the board and get people to support us. So right from day one, you know, with Reeves, with Lazo, with Chris Anderson, we had a really great leadership team. And if you look at the club today, look at Bart Campbell, the ownership, Matty Tripp, those guys, you've got Dave Donaghy, you look at, you know, Craig Bellamy, Cameron Swift, you've still got some great leaders of the organisation. For me, it's all about leadership. You've got great leaders in the organisation, and you're bringing players through, you've got, you know, some succession planning in terms of that stuff. It's a big plus for the Melbourne Storm. But, yeah, right from day dot, you know, we set out, you know, we wanted to win the premiership in 3 years. That was our goal. Wow. But we actually exceeded the expectation. And we made the playoffs in our first year. And the second year, we won the comp.
Crazy.
You know, so that's something right from the get-go that the boys are really focused on. And if you look at that team in 1999, mate, I think the average age of the back line, we had Matty Guy, who was, I think, Buffalo was just in 22 or 21, Aaron Newell, Tony Martin.
Yeah, wow.
We had a young back line, Marcus By and Robbie Ross with the others, and Craig Smith, who didn't play four or five games. But, you know, we had a big forward pack, a lot of experience, and, you know, we managed to jag the grand final in that second year. So it was fantastic.
Matty Guy and Marcus By did look about 42, though.
Yeah, no, they still look that. Actually, Marcus hasn't changed. He looks exactly the same.
He does, actually. Yeah.
Still cut like glass. He's a ripped unit.
Is that Olin got a birth certificate?
Yeah, no way. They don't.
He doesn't.
Hey, he doesn't have a birth certificate?
No. Tawera, we really appreciate your time. Absolute legend. 338 NRL games, 53 with the Storm, though, and one of the key pillars in setting up that incredible foundation that's just launched that club, as you said, to one of the most successful in Australia and maybe even internationally as well. You were the turning point, the man that just spun that game on its head in 99, and it's great to hear about the Watchtower and your experiences in the early day of the Storm. Thanks so much for having a chat to us on the Storm Hour.
You're welcome, boys. All the best. And
thanks,
good
T.
Good luck for the rest of the season. And cheers. Go the mighty Storm.
Go the Storm. Cheers, brother.
Absolutely. Love it. To wear a Nick out. After this, we better do our T-Bone of the Week. We're going to try and find out who the most famous Shandor is in the history of sport. Don't think it's you, mate.
Come on.
And I want to play you a song that I heard the other day, and I want to get your thoughts on it. John from Greensbury wants to have a chat about some early Storm memories. We'll do
get
that
him
all
on.
Next. 1-300-736-736. If you remember those early days of the Storm at Olympic Park, we'd love to hear from you too on the Storm Hour, SEN.
We are the Storm from Melbourne Town. We'll blow the others off the ground. We are the Storm and we're number one.
On SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
1-300-736-736, Melbourne Storm Hour. Almost time for T-Bone of the Week. If you've got a nomination, let us know. The boys are feverishly working away on theirs. But we did ask if you had any Melbourne Storm memories from those early days. It was great to chat to Wera Nickow, who really helped set up that Storm culture, and to hear his memories of that time. John from Greensboro has given us a call. Hello, John.
Yeah, thanks, boys.
G'day, John.
Just listening to all that brought back some great memories, and I'm not an original rugby fan, became a rugby fan through that association, but there was a company called Fastway Couriers, you guys may remember, and we we had a box at every home game, and the way the Storm engaged with their fans was just fantastic. I remember taking my kids there, dinner amongst you guys, warming up, and I was lucky enough to actually be present at a Chris Anderson speech, and talking about how you wanted to keep the fans entertained. One of the things I remember is him saying to you guys, you know, we got to remember that this is new to these guys, and we got to give them some excitement. And he asked the team to keep the ball alive at every moment, throw it around, and show the fans that this game is a good game and an interesting game to watch. And they did. They played great football. And I think Chris Anderson really understood what it took. And, yeah, rightly so. I think you give him a fair bit of credit, and obviously the rest of the boys. But, yeah, they just did things so well. So good on you, boys, and they deserve all the success they get.
100%. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Cobber.
Beautifully done, John. You're heading off to the next Melbourne Storm home game. It's at Amy Park now, not at the old graveyard as it used to be. Taking on the Raiders, Saturday, August 17th, 5:35 kickoff. It's going to be a top four showdown as well, so stay on the line. Aaron will get all your details and let you know where you need to pick your tickets up. And if you want to head to that game, head to melbournestorm.com.au to get tickets. Boys, before we get into T-Bone of the Week, for some reason we've been asked, Cooper Johns, to find out who the most famous Shandors are in history and where our man ranks.
Hang on. Is it in history or is it in sport? Because there was this in sport tossed up.
No, we're talking about history.
Wow. Okay.
And let me tell you,
some of them are in sport.
There's about 15 of them, and I'll tell you what, mate, you rank well at the bottom.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, okay, who do you think should rank higher, you or Shandor Vey, who was a Hungarian-French violinist?
Oh, mate, he was outstanding too.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he would have been the best violinist I've ever seen.
All right, so that's
like,
you think
of André Rieu and go five times better.
Mm. That's the opening round, and I win that battle next.
So a personal favourite of mine, he's someone that's had a huge influence in my life, Shandor Murai. Oh, mate, he was 89 years old when he passed in 1989, and he was just an outstanding poet, novelist and journalist.
Mm. Oh, that's right, Shandor Murai. Yeah. What was one of his books again?
I believe he wrote The Sticky Finger.
Yeah, sweet. That's a...
about a lonesome dog.
That's a round two win for Mr. Earl. Next.
I think when I think of my favourite Olympic memories, I always go back to Shandor Gombos, 1895 to 1968.
Gold medalist?
The Hungarian Olympic champion sabre fencer. And he often shared the front seat on the bus with Shandor Geller, the Hungarian Olympic champion soccer goalkeeper.
Yeah, it was
So these are Olympic champions, Shandor. Mm. I don't know how you can feel that you're a more famous Shandor than Olympians.
Yeah, he was by far.
If rugby league was an Olympic sport.
He's probably the best Hungarian goalkeeper of all time.
Well, that's not what it says.
Are you still not sold? Do I really have to bring the big dog out?
Bring the big dog, because I'm in the semi-finals here.
Nope.
Shandor Saros. Oh, wow. The greatest Hungarian actor, if not the greatest actor in the history of life itself.
Yeah, what movie was he in? Mission Impossible?
Have you never seen him?
Give me a movie.
Never seen it. In
Shawshank Redemption was originally a Hungarian film, and he starred in the original.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Mm. Rawshank Redemption, they called it. It was awesome.
I can confidently say that I feel like I am at least a podium finish on this list.
You know what yours just says next to your name? New Zealand Borg Rugby League player.
Yeah, thank you.
That's all it says.
Yeah.
Seriously. Unless that violinist has a middle name that says Beethoven, then unfortunately it's not going to cut it. The Olympians I'll cop, but at the end of the day, if rugby league was an Olympic sport, I would have been in the Hungarian Olympic team.
Were you getting
a gold medal?
No.
In a dark time, Shandor Vaig brought a nation back together, a broken nation.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? T-Bone of the week.
I'm not dead either. Let's be honest. I'm only 29 here. I've got a long
time.
You know, I'm prepared to bring back a nation if that's what I need to do.
No, mate.
You've still got time. We'll give you that.
You've never been to Hungary.
I'll go.
But at least I feel now that we've given you a measuring stick.
Yeah, cool.
A height that you can reach. A ceiling that you can break.
You want to talk about
visualising the outcome? Well,
hey, before we get to T-Bone of the Week, I want to play you a brand new song. I've been wanting to get this to you.
Now performing a cover of the Lewis Capaldi hit Someone You Loved, Dale Finucane.
A little bit off.
Now leave your robe on, Sam.
I'm going under and this time I feel there's no one to save.
Hey, 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 don't. Let Dale do it.
Come on. Record
this
that.
This all or nothing really got away and driving me crazy.
Get it, Dale.
I need somebody to hear,
no,
somebody to love, somebody to have, somebody to hold. It's easy to say, it's never the same. I guess I'm better left the way under the way. The day bends and tonight falls.
He couldn't quite hit the pitch on that one.
Get me through it all. Let my guard down and you pull the rope. I was getting kind of used to being someone.
Now, that's very good.
That's pretty good.
That's very good.
I'm not turning my chair for it, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely. It's a yes from me.
There's a couple of tone and pitch issues, but Dale, come back next year.
Yeah.
Come back next year, and I feel like, mate.
You should get your confidence.
That's right. We'll turn it. Go away. Work hard on it, and, you know, the chairs will turn.
Rome wasn't built in a day. Like, you know,
get yourself
a
mentor.
Yeah.
I can set him up with Rob Mills, maybe.
Rob Mills.
Came fifth in Australian Idol.
I can still hear it in the background.
Yeah, I'm still going to let it go.
All right.
T-Bone of the Week, nominations, please, before we get out of here.
Yes, sir. T-Bone of the Week nomination. So my one is an interesting one. Dale's really putting me off.
No. Get it off.
Oh, I loved it, Haruken Fanukin.
Yeah, seriously, turn it off. my one, so the camp quality dinner, great event, and some great prizes. Now, the boys were involved, and some of them walked away with some prizes, which is completely fine. That's what they were there for. They'd done their part. Our young friend, son of Kevin Walters, walked away with a pram. Now, it is...
Wow, a great pram, too.
Yeah, great pram. It's, you know, quite an expensive pram. It's quite common knowledge that he's looking to go the next level with his partner, Rachel, but that's for another time. He's decided to part ways with the pram, and how he did that was a little sale online.
Oh, no.
He's walked away with some cash. Now, I'll leave it in the I'll leave it to the imagination of whether what he's going to do with that, whether he's going to donate that to charity or what, but at the end of the day, walked away with the pram from a raffle prize, sold it, cash in pocket.
And bragged about it.
Wow.
I'm sure he's going to give that to the charity. Yeah. I'm sure he's just waiting to getting a bank transfer sorted and just waiting for the funds to clear. Yeah. And I'm
he's
sure
pay off some debts, I think.
Yeah. I'm sure that it'll be right. Cooper, yours?
Yeah, mine goes to, you know what, great friend of the show and just a great human being, Christian Welsh, who organised the camp quality
dinner. The dugong.
The dugong, yeah. So he was put on the spot by a few of us at the end of the night where we said, how much would it cost for Welshie to shave his head for charity? And they tossed up. People in the crowd were going, $500, you know, and that's a substantial amount.
Yeah, it's
huge.
Camp College. And I'm sure they would have really
benefited every dollar helps, let alone $500.
Surely he's done it.
He refused to do it.
Oh, no.
And you know what he said? He explained himself as, I'm a single man. I need my hair.
Yeah.
Then that brings me over to Sam, who's bald.
I beg your pardon, Christian. I beg your pardon.
Wow.
You scumbag. That is baldest.
So basically you've got no chance with females if you're bald.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
This is the kind of person that I don't like in life.
Mm.
None of us do.
Let me tell you what.
It really pigeonholes you.
No, not at all. It says more about him as a human being than it says about me.
What I would say is, Welshie, take some tips off Sam, post a couple of photos from 10 years ago, and then rock up bald.
Or buy a wig.
I've been bald over 10 years.
That'll
I've been bald
work.
For 15.
Wear hats everywhere.
Yeah. Now, and by the way, Christian, I'm not done with you. We might address that next week. That's just slander. My T-Bone of the Week is a dual nomination for both of you two dribblers.
There we go.
Just had a great time at the Legends lunch the other day, and I got a chance to go around and speak to a couple of boys, and I was standing there with Curtis Scott and Harry Grant and a few of the other lads, and I just said, hey, how's the show being received by the boys? Is everyone really liking it? And they said, yeah, we really like it. It's great, and we really appreciate what you've been able to do and to get involved. And what the,
no one said what that.
The, no one said that.
Let me tell my truth. And I said, so how do you guys, what are the boys like with the show? And I said, oh, we really like that... That they've done the show. We really like that they're doing it. We really like that we're getting some exposure. But I'll tell you what, we're sick of hearing about it. Every day, all we hear about is, sorry, do you have your own radio show? your own radio show, maybe you guys could speak about that, but you don't. Are you guys going around bragging every day at training that you've got a radio show?
Well, no.
Well, if you got it, you know, you take what you get. Take the little win.
If we had a bigger, if we were working with a bigger name in the industry, we'd be far, far, far further ahead.
Let me tell you what, you're exactly where you should be.
We've made you. You're a producer. Now you're a radio host. Congratulations. Thank you, Cooper Johns and Shander Earl.
Yeah, the 5 years of AFL commentary beforehand.
Mate, commentary is different. Yeah, honestly, this is a chance to be a real you. It's great to call a game, mate, but this is a new realm for you.
This is the first time I've hosted.
This is a new realm for you. We've given you that opportunity.
Welcome to the big league, Sam. Welcome to the big leagues, brother. It's been fun playing NBL, but now you're in the NBA.
It's been a privilege to give you your opportunity.
So if you're listening and wondering, did I make that story up? You've just heard the reaction from the two boys, so you know everything I've just said is 100% true.
Yes, along with the fact that we debuted you as a host.
Yes,
congratulations.
And the fact that he has fake Tinder pictures from 10 years ago.
5 years of commentary, you can't get your name on the decal here in the office.
There's a whole bunch of technicians working away on that right now. next Storm home game is at Amy Park on Saturday, August 17th, 5:35 p.m. kickoff. It's a top four showdown against the Raiders. Shandor Earl, Cooper Johns, Storm out for another week. And to play us out, Harukan Finucan. Nicely done on Fox Sports on Matty Johns' show.
Get it, Dale.
Somebody to know, somebody to have, somebody to hold. It's easy to say, it's never the same. I guess I kind of like the way you numbed all the pain. The day fades and
Sam, put your shirt on.
Sporting Capital continues next. We'll be doing Off the Hook, 1-300-736-736. Thank you, Dale.
And you pull the rope. I was getting kind of used to being someone you love.
It's Tyre Power's Big Footy Final Sale. To kick things off, you can get the power to buy three and get one free on selected Toyo passenger car and SUV tyres. Tyre Power's Big Footy Final Sale can't last. Visit tyrepower.com.au now.